Next, Brendan will take us to New York City, where he spoke with Jeff Berryhill, a worker at the New School who was recently involved in a workplace occupation and strike.
This is Brendan Masoskis Dunn with WOOC, currently at the New School in New York City at the site of a recent occupation that a bunch of workers held here at the college. And I'm sitting down with Jeff Berryhill, who is clerical staff at the New School. He's a member, rank and file member of Teamsters Local 1205, and he was a participant and supporter of the recent New School occupation. So thanks for joining us on WOOC, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Give us some background. You know, I'm sure most of our listeners haven't even heard about the New School occupation. Start by telling us what you do here at the New School and how this all started.
I've worked here for 2 years now. I'm a graduate. I completed a history degree here, a master's program. While I was in the master's program, I worked in the office of the executive dean at one of the colleges. I currently work there now, just doing clerical support, so schedule meetings, file papers, etc. Pretty much the origin of the occupation began when the treasurer of the university, and he's also a vice president, announced that they were going to discontinue using an external partner for food services at the university in the cafeteria. And in the process of discontinuing the food service with this external vendor, they were going to lay off all 31 cafeteria workers in the process. They explained in their communication that these workers would then, who were union members, they're members of Unite, I can't remember what number it is. They were told that they could apply for the jobs, but they could not be guaranteed to get their jobs back. Also in this communication, they talked about, the New School likes to pride itself on this like progressive tradition and ideals and such. And so part of it was part of their explanation for discontinuing this partnership was to bring in more like locally sourced and organic type foods options and to involve students in food service and food prep and food acquisition. Long story short, 31 workers with pensions, union benefits, and such were going to lose their jobs with no guarantee that they would be able to have jobs once the food service was brought internal. A group on campus called the Communist Student Group caught wind of this and began cultivating relationships with many of the cafeteria workers. They did painstaking work developing the trust and commitment of these workers. They came forth with a plan saying, hey, a group of students and our supporters wanna lay claim to the cafeteria. We wanna make a series of demands, including the preservation of your jobs. The workers were thrilled by this gesture. They were dissatisfied with their union leaderships and their willingness not to do anything necessary to preserve their jobs, and were, you know, part of this process. I first met the students who were going to put out the call for the occupation at an event that I was helping to host and organize in my staff capacity here at the New School. They had a cafeteria worker come in and explain what was happening to them, how losing their benefits was going to imperil the health and well-being of their family, how like losing this job specifically was going to be especially devastating because they appreciated the relationships they had with students and they found great dignity in the work they did here. They spoke at this event, they leafleted in front of it, and they invited people to come to an organizing meeting that night. And this was done April 27th. The occupation kicked off on May 1st, May Day. There was a rally of sorts on campus. Folks laid claim, took the space in the cafeteria. I mean, another interesting thing, so the Communist Student Group who... They are sort of like the student wing of a group in Brooklyn, based in Brooklyn, called the Maoist Communist Organization. They had been meeting for years. They had a different name in advance. I think it was called the Revolutionary Student council or something of sorts. But anyway, they had been meeting on campus every Friday for the last 2 years, reading historical text, devising plans, strategizing and such. So like they had built sort of a small nucleus that, and like this was sort of, that was ready to activate, and this was sort of their coming out party. They kicked off the occupation, but had pretty limited goals aside from kicking off the occupation. Once the occupation was in gear, a number of folks with sort of a syndicalist orientation who had kind of been involved in grassroots or like rank and file kind of labor organizing were like, hey, there are processes necessary in order to sustain an occupation. So they came forth, introduced the idea of having general assemblies, helped make plans and preparations for like, what are we going to need to stay the night? What are we going to need to provide food? What are we going to, you know, just what are we going to do to implement a media strategy and publicity campaign? So folks took that in earnest and sort of were able to complement and supplement the, where the CSG, the Communist Student Group, had kind of had failed to recognize the importance of. After the first couple days, workers were in and around the occupation the first few days. Some of them stayed the night, but at the behest of their union leadership, they were encouraged not to participate. The union leadership talked about, legal problems they would encounter by participating in the occupation. The union leadership was also then in negotiations with the university about preserving the jobs of the workers and such. Partway through the occupation, worker participation no longer continued. Nonetheless, 4 days before the occupation ended, workers came out, 15 to 17 workers, I can't remember specifically, came and visited the occupation after signing a joint agreement with the university promising to preserve their jobs. So long story short, the action taken on May 1st that lasts until May, 14th or 16th, I can't remember the specific days, kept the job of the workers. Now, although the workers weren't intimately involved in the day-to-day of the occupation, they came 4 days before the occupation closed after signing their agreement and visited the occupation with family members, kids, and such. And each of them took the megaphone, addressed the crowd, and said such things as, like, no one's ever fought for me as hard as you guys fought for me. Talked about how instrumental, like, preserving their job was to them, and expressed that they learned a valuable lesson that they wield power. So, like, one of the things is they understood that, like, it was, like, for them, sort of a first moment of understanding, like, the power of collective struggle and militancy. The occupation ended at the behest of those who were occupying. They've had a few subsequent meetings in the meantime in the hopes to identify ways in which to build on the momentum and build on the power and organizational know-how that was developed in the context of the occupation. And I think it's worth noting, too, those who participated in the day-to-day occupation, who helped do the food service, food prep, media stuff, were often folks who hadn't been involved in politics before. One of the people I talked to was in between jobs, and she was like, I needed something to eat. I was moved by this and given an opportunity to put these skills into action. Another young person who said she was simply like trying to find community in this space, because the interesting about the new school is it's an urban-based campus, so there's less of sort of the conventional campus community taking root. And so like they were able to find community in a way that they hadn't in the past. Lastly, I just want to notice that a significant portion, if not a majority, of the participants were queer women, which, gave it a different character, And I don't think was always appreciated, too, you know, by people who were observing it from the outside. But largely it was queer women who, you know, gave the occupation sort of its life, its energy. And I think that's worth noting and emphasizing.
So it sounds like it was a major victory and also led in large part and had, you know, high activity from queer women and women of color.
Mm-hmm. And it was an extraordinary victory. It was one of those rare instances, you know, where worker student struggle, in this particular instance, was able to deliver demands that conventional roots, conventional politics, conventional labor politics weren't able to deliver.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us on WOC, Jeff.
And that was our own Brendan Dunn interviewing Jeff Berryhill, who he met this past weekend at the site of a workplace occupation at the New School.